Jenny.
I'm Marianne.
And I'm Elizabeth.
And today we're going to be doing Potter for Dummies, Woo! Part 3. And we have a special guest.
What?
It's Celexis.
Hello.
She's back. I'm pretty confident that she's forgotten everything that we told her in episodes 1 and 2 of the series.
I have.
Thank you. I really think that, like, your brain is just designed to not absorb Harry Potter material.
It does repel it. I'm sorry.
Okay, I feel like repel is a strong word.
It's not because I don't think it's cool. It is cool. It's just...
it blocks. I mean, that just makes you the best guest for Potter for Dummies every single time. So
every single time. It's like you're learning brand new information.
We're just going to rely on that.
Have you ever seen that gif of Phoebe from Friends where she's standing with Joey and they're like, this is brand new information. Like, that's
brand new information.
Yeah.
Like, from the moment where we start, we're like, there's this kid named Harry Potter. And she was like, what?
Wow. He's a wizard?
This is our third installment, and we'll be covering the third book. We were going to do books 3 and 4, but I got pretty passionate, and book 3 is long enough. For those who haven't listened to the other ones yet, we basically ask Alexis to follow us on a journey through the books and ask her what she thinks is going to happen. It's like sort of a twisted version of Mad Libs. I don't know if you guys were ever into those books when you were kids.
Like the game Mad Libs?
Yeah, like it would ask you, like it would be like a story and be like, give us a verb, like give us an adjective, and then like you would plug it all in and read it. I feel like that is what we're doing with Alexis. But sometimes we ask her what she thinks something in the books is, like what is a hippogriff, and she'll go off and she'll create wild stories. So that's exciting. Before we get started and headed into our outpost, this is going to be an explicit episode. So if you have young children or you don't like cursing, then you should probably not listen to this or... listen and be upset.
Not this.
Nope.
But yeah, so there we go. That's my Woo-hoo. Disclaimer. We've done it.
All right. Hydrangea is here. She is ready. She is so patient. Holding our two letters for outpost today.
Two letters.
Our amazing. First one is from Beanbug 5522. And they asked, what do you think would happen if Sirius was Dada Professor?
Everyone, just don't say what that means, because that's a question later for Alexis.
Okay.
It would just be too good. We'd all be too powerful.
I think it would honestly be too bad.
He would be a terrible teacher.
I think it'd be so fun.
I'm not saying that it wouldn't be fun. I'm just saying that, like, that whole year, it would have been like a Lockhart repeat. Like, you would have learned zero.
I mean,
things.
As a teacher, I can see what you're talking about. He would definitely be someone who did not turn in their lesson plans ahead of time and did their grading.
Yeah, grading? Mm-mm. Non-existent.
Just like, he grades by vibes. Like, he just like...
He is a vibe.
He just feels someone's vibe. He's like, Draco, F. Like...
I feel like he would be super petty, and he'd be like, I didn't like your mom in high school.
But then it'd be
He totally would, though.
But he'd be an adventure. I feel like you would still learn something because he's so reckless, and you have to learn on the go. So he's just like, all right, guys, Maybe. We're going to take the class outside today just because he needs to buy some time.
To think of a lesson on the way there. I agree with you
100%. Here's how to illegally create an animagus.
I love it.
Wild. Alrighty. Our next outposts. I don't have it, Jenny.
Oh, that's because I remembered it in my mind. It's from It's Christy Time. It was a late submission, so it just came through. But she asked, do you think that hippogriffs make good pets? I can't tell you what a hippogriff is because we're also saving that for Alexis, because I feel like she's going to give us a great, great explanation of what that is. But I would say no, because they're wild animals, and wild animals belong in the wild. Yeah. You guessed it. And they're not domesticated, so they should not be your pet. Domestication is a process that takes thousands of years. So, you know.
Wow. The more you know.
Don't support the pet trade. Okay, so today we're going to be talking about The Prisoner of Azkaban. That is the title of the third book. Alexis, Harry Potter and the Prisoner of Azkaban. What do you think Azkaban is?
Oh, I know this
one. Ooh, we're starting off strong.
You're upsetting me already.
Well, we're like, this is process of elimination here. He's a prisoner. Someone's a prisoner. Yes, I don't know who, but someone's a prisoner of Azkaban. So Azkaban has to be, well, a prison.
Look at you.
Whoa, you've used logic, and I wasn't counting on that.
Oh, come on, Jenny.
When I say prisoner of Azkaban, what are you envisioning in your head? Like, what is the vibe that you are getting? Like, what does this prisoner look like?
Very dirty.
Okay.
Good.
Kind of wet.
Okay.
Like, grimy.
Okay.
Like, he just stepped out of a swamp.
Okay. Maybe some flies. A lot of major points here.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Maybe some flies flying around his head.
It's
or
possible.
Her. It could be a her.
Right.
What are you feeling? Are you feeling a male?
I'm feeling it's a man. It's a man because men make bad decisions and end up in jail.
That's right.
That's a pretty broad statement, but I'm going to take it.
Thank you.
I literally
Elizabeth lost it. It was so good.
Gold already. Okay. So I'm going to start the synopsis. Get ready because your first question is coming up soon.
Okay.
So for those of you listening, we're going to interrupt the story every now and then and ask Alexis multiple choice questions and see what she thinks is going to happen. But then we're going
to It's like a choose your own adventure, okay. Except she has to choose right. If not, we'll choose
except,
for her.
Yeah, you don't progress. Yeah, you don't progress down one way. Like, it's a linear timeline. We're not going anywhere else. Okay, so Harry, that's the main dude in the book. He's 13 now. The last time that we did this, he was 12. And he's spending the summer with his aunt and uncle. I will give you $20 if you can remember their names.
Straight up Venmo.
Okay.
I will literally Venmo you right now if you can tell me their names.
Okay, hold on. They sound like a seasoning.
You did say this last time.
The Dursleys.
Hey!
Okay.
No, but I want their names.
Oh.
Let me think. I remember that the dad was like a drag or some shit.
What?
Like an Antonio. Antonio?
You've lost $10.
Alberto?
No.
Nope.
Was the mom Petunia?
Yes!
I'm going to Venmo you $10.
Okay, thank you. I don't know why that one stuck out. But the dad is... Did it start with an A?
No.
Fuck.
Okay, I'm going to give you a second to think because I'm also going to tell the audience about another segment we're doing today. It's called Smokey Update. Alexis rescued a cat during quarantine. His name is Smokey. He's a black cat.
He's so cute.
And he's attacking Alexis right now. The entire time that she was trying to think of Alberto's name, he was literally like eating her hands. So we're going to give you Smokey updates along the way because his cat is alive.
He is biting my wrist.
All right. You have like 5 more seconds. Starts with a V.
Norbert.
Okay. That's a dragon. That was a dragon in the first book. So you got that.
Vermeer.
No, his name is Vernon.
Vernon.
But I kind of like Alberto. I feel like it gives him a little seasoning. So
thank you.
Harry is with Vernon and Petunia, and he just saved Ginny from Chamber of Secrets like last school year. We did that. I don't really remember that. You know who Ginny is, but they receive a note from school. You know, like they get like their list of supplies and stuff. And this year you get the added bonus of 1, we have extra classes, but 2, they get to go on field trips like every couple months and they go to this wizarding town. It's called Hogsmeade. And so they get to visit and he's like, yo, Vernon, I really want to visit this like field trip or whatever. Can you sign my permission slip? And Vernon is like, psych, your Aunt Marge, who's Vernon's sister, is coming to visit. If you behave while she's here, I'll sign your permission slip, which bothers me on a couple of like levels, because why Harry didn't just like sign his uncle's name, I don't know, but whatever.
Yeah, I feel like this is definitely a time where like I would have been okay with plagiarism.
Right? You know, like just sign his name. Like who cares? But it's not like they've signed any other documents ever because they hate him. So whatever. So Hogsmeade, if you've been to the Wizarding World in Orlando, that's the side on Islands of Adventure. Like right after Jurassic Park, you like walk in, it's like covered in snow. You can get butter beer. It's like where Dueling Dragons used to be. That's Hogsmeade. And it looks, I mean, actually pretty identical to that. So they can buy candy there. They can go to a joke shop. Like, they can get butter beer, send their mail, like do all their wizard business. Okay, so Aunt Marge arrives. And she's basically, she's a piece of shit. She's a trash human being. Trash. And we hate her. Like, trash. Like, I feel like she's almost worse than Vernon and Petunia, even though I know that they're bad. But I really hate her.
You know who she's, like, an equivalent of to, like, modern day people?
Who?
A Trumpy.
Oh, my God, you're right.
For sure.
She's a Trumpy.
You're a 1,000%
with the way she talks about, like... so you know, nice. Harry and his family, like, to
she
him.
She would 100% be racist.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
100%. Yeah. So, trash human being. Okay, so she has, this is why I hate her. I mean, on top of all the other stuff, but this one really drove it in. She has a bunch of bulldogs that she breeds, and she killed one once because, like, he wasn't good enough. She had her neighbor, like, drown him.
Horrible human.
Horrible. She's an asshole. So Aunt Marge insults Harry's parents, and he kind of, like, loses control. Like, she's talking, like, mad shit about them, and he's like, bitch, that's my fucking parents. And he, like, loses control of his magic, and I think he, like, in the movie, he bursts a glass. I don't know if that's what happens in the book, to be honest with you. But he also ends up doing something else to her. Now, Alexis, what do you think that Harry does? A, blows her up. B, stabs her with his fork. C, throws a drink in her face.
I hope he blows her up.
He does blow her up. You're at 100%. I almost want to start keeping a tally of how many you get correct to tell you at the end.
Yeah.
So you're 1-for-1.
Yeah. Okay. But it's not like blowing up like she went kaboom and like splat.
Yeah.
She blew up like a balloon. And started floating in the air like if she was filled with helium.
Like she was floating away.
Oh. Yeah, she also like floats into the sky.
Yeah, like she literally starts flying away.
We find out later that they actually had to, like, wizards had to go find her and like pop her with a pin. Like they had to deflate her.
Amazing.
So
what a way to go.
What a way to go. So that happens, but I'm going to let Elizabeth continue the story.
Yes. So basically, obviously, his uncle is pissed because, you know, he just blew up his sister. and he basically is about to, like, beat him, threaten him, throw him in. Like, if he could have gotten rid of him that day, he probably would have. But he can't. So, Harry's just pissed, though. Harry, like, can't stand what's going on at all. Like, this is, like, the last straw for Harry. So, he starts gathering his things. And he tries to run away. So he, like, angrily gets his owl, his trunk, and he storms out with his wand. And now he's just, like, walking with, like, a bird and a trunk on the street. Like, nowhere to go.
Homeless. He is homeless.
Thank you, Mary.
So while he's out there, Harry sees a giant black dog. And it, like, freaks him out for a minute because he's like, I've never seen this dog before. And then while he's looking at this dog, he like trips over himself because the dog's kind of like, the dog looks mean. So he's like trying to like back away, like, oh God. He trips and falls. And as he trips, a giant purple bus appears out of nowhere to rescue him.
Like a triple decker. Like, you know, the red double decker buses from like the UK, but this is like a triple decker. Like
it's
got an extra deck.
That's a magic bus.
It's a very magic bus.
So you are correct.
Yes. This bus is called the Night Bus, and apparently in the way that Harry fell, there's like a signal for like when wizards are like in distress or like abandoned and they need somewhere to go. They do like a signal with their wand and the Night Bus will appear.
Very convenient.
Come and like rescue them. Yes. And take them to wherever they need to go. So this Night Bus appears and it is operated by a man named Ernie.
Take it away, Ernie. And his assistant.
Take it away, Ernie.
I think it just says, I think he just calls him Ern.
Oh,
no, he does say Ernie sometimes.
Yeah. But I think that one he did say Ern. Take it away, Ern. Something like that.
So the reason why me and Marianne are doing really, really bad Jamaican accents.
Really bad.
Because why not?
Or just like Caribbean accent in general is in the movies, they decided to make like this like talking voodoo head.
Yeah.
And he was like the comedic relief on the bus. And he was just
commenting
like, take it away, Annie.
Which like what a random.
Yeah.
Listen,
there were some pretty random choices.
I'm not questioning anything that Alfonso did. I want to make that clear.
Which
Alfonso Cuarón is a director of this movie, by the way.
Yeah. If you've watched Pan's Labyrinth, that's a big one that he was like known for outside of Harry Potter. But he's very good. He's very good. Very good.
Mary, yeah. We'll get mad with you if you don't think
Yeah,
so.
Very mad. Very mad. Alfonso aesthetic.
Yeah, it's a thing here.
It's a thing. So there's Ernie and there's Stanley Shunpike.
Now, I wrote this in Alexis because you will need to know that name in like way farther down in the books. But which I know you're going to repel it out of your mind.
100%.
But maybe in like a year you can earn like another $20 if you can guess his
Stanley
name.
Stanley Shunpike.
Okay.
Stanley Shunpike.
Stanley.
He's basically like... like a fresh out of high school type of teenage guy covered in pimples. This is like his like temporary job. Like he's not about it at all. So just picture that.
Isn't he the bus conductor? Like he's taking the tickets and stuff like that? Or am I thinking of the wrong person?
Yeah. No, it's him taking the tickets. Yeah. So while he's there, Harry is like, there's other wizards on this bus. Like, it's not just Harry. And Harry sees that someone's reading a newspaper. And so he discovers, because it's a headline on the newspaper, that a dangerous wizard has escaped from wizard prison, which is Azkaban. His name is Sirius Black. Do you know anything about Sirius Black?
She should.
No. I mean, now that I know that he escaped from Azkaban.
Okay. And
he's somewhat in Harry's life, I think. I don't know how.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
But I think I remember that. And he has a beard. Mm-hmm.
Me and you talked about Sirius Black once for like 20 minutes.
Oh, okay.
Like, like in the last 4 months.
She's like,
in the last 4 months?
Yeah, we did, actually. We did.
Yeah, it's coming back to you.
Alexis is like, yeah. Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
I can picture the face.
I mean, he is played by Gary Oldman in the movies.
Okay, that's why. Yeah,
perfect casting.
Yeah, it is a great casting. I love Gary Oldman.
Me too.
All right, so... whatever. Harry discovers Sirius Black is on the loose. And now Harry arrives at the pub in London right in front of Diagon Alley. And what is the pub called, Alexis? And we'll give you choices. Is it called A, the Creaky Cauldron, B, the Broken Pot, or C, the Leaky Cauldron?
The one that sounds familiar is the Leaky Cauldron.
Hey!
Yeah, you're two for two.
Okay.
I tried to make it rhyme. I was like, well, maybe she'll think it was the Creaky Cauldron.
I almost picked that one.
Well, oh, so close. So close.
Yeah.
It was also alliteration.
Yeah.
Not rhyming. Thank you very much.
That's true. You're welcome. I love myself some literary devices.
Yes. Okay, so yes, he is at the Leaky Cauldron, and when he's there, for some reason, the Minister of Magic, which is like our president, just is there waiting for him. Cornelius Fudge, he's just there being like, hey, Harry, we've been waiting for your arrival.
Chilling, with his books, by the way.
Yeah.
That's right.
And obviously, Harry's like... first of all, who are you? He's never met this man before. And second, yes, why he would he has?
Yeah, when he was covered under the invisibility cloak in Hagrid's hut when they come.
Yeah, he didn't meet.
But he didn't meet him. So Harry knows who he is, but he has to pretend that he doesn't know who he is.
Yeah.
Just saying. I don't want people to cancel us because we don't
know him, so. But he doesn't know him like that.
Yeah.
Don't know him like that.
So
it's definitely weird that he's there.
It's hella weird that he's there. The minister should have nothing to do with students from Hogwarts or anything. But Harry's also freaking out because since he technically blew up his aunt, underage wizards aren't supposed to do magic outside of Hogwarts because, like we see with Harry, they don't know how to control it very well yet. So he thought that he was going to be expelled from Hogwarts because he already got his warning the year before because of magic that Dobby did. Do you remember who Dobby is?
Yeah, the little thing.
The little thing.
The little thing.
Yep.
The little house elf.
Yeah.
So Harry already got like a warning letter the year before. It's kind of like okay, you did this magic once. This is like your only chance. And if you do it one more time, you're expelled. So now with this, he was like, oh my God, I'm going to hella be expelled. And now the minister's here. He's totally going
to
expel me.
Maybe even go to jail. He broke a law.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was
Harry might
out.
Be the prisoner of Azkaban.
To
we don't
Azkaban,
know.
Yeah.
To Azkaban, he goes.
I mean, exactly. I truly feel sorry for Harry. Like, he's 13. Like,
he really was freaking out, man. He didn't know what.
He was freaking out. But Cornelius Fudge, he's there, and he's like, "Hey, Harry, everything's fine. Everything's cool. You know, your aunt is fine. We just, you know, we popped her a bit. We wiped her memory. All good there. Like, don't have to worry about it. Your family will take you back in the summer. Don't got to worry about that. You're not homeless." And yeah, he's just there, like, completely ignoring the fact that, like, Harry ran away from home, that Harry technically broke the underage wizarding laws. So, I mean, Harry thought it was a little bit weird, but also Harry's like a little bit of a celebrity in the wizarding world.
Just a little bit.
So it could have, I'm sure he also brushed it off as like, I guess this is like a Harry Potter perk of benefit
Harry
of being
Potter
me.
Perk?
So he, now that he's there for the few days before school starts, he gets to live like every kid's dream and just basically run around unsupervised in Diagon Alley and spend his money all willy-nilly. Yeah. So it's a fun time for him.
Yeah, for the most part. And then...
It's a great time.
Great time. Eventually, he's not there by himself for very long. Eventually, Ron and Hermione do come over, and they're hanging out. Little fun sleepovers. Not, I don't know if they did sleepovers, but they do join him. They do join him, and then when they arrive to collect their school things, since Harry already had his stuff for school ready, since Cornelius Fudge gave it to him, Ron's telling him how he's been to Egypt. He bought Harry a sneakoscope. There you go, that thing, because I can never say it.
What do you think it is, Alexis? A sneakoscope.
Yeah.
A sneakoscope?
Yeah.
Yes. Oh, this is a good one.
Okay. You know people who are very into sneakers? And they have, like, little monocles to check the make of the sneaker? Maybe in the wizarding world, they have magical sneakers that give them powers, and the sneaker scope helps them.
How your mind went there, I don't know.
Inspect the sneaker for magic.
Okay, no.
I'm gonna call it a sneaker scope for the rest of my life. It is definitely
oh my god
a sneaker scope.
I'm like crying. It's called a sneak o scope.
Like a sneaky? Like sneaking?
Yeah, like sneak.
Yeah.
Like sneak.
Yeah. Sneak o scope.
Oh.
Marianne, just tell her what it is.
I stand by my case.
Anyways, Alexis, what it truly is, it's a device that's supposed to tell you, alert you when enemies are nearby. But no one thinks it works because it had been going like crazy at dinner at the previous night. So, and no one's sketch was around. So they don't think it works, but that's what it's supposed
to do. That's what they
think. That's what they think. But that's what it's supposed to do. Yeah.
Okay.
All right. So anyways, the night before they're going to head back to Hogwarts. Harry overhears Ron's parents having an argument. Very kind of like,
which is like super awkward, yeah, by the way. Like you're on vacation like with your friend's family and like the mom and dad are like having an argument,
and he's never seen them have an argument before. Like they're not the kind of people to do that, you know, so he just like stops to listen, and he finds out that Sirius Black is after Harry. Bum bum bum
bum bum bum.
So he's a little like totally chill about it. Like, what? Like, it's fine. Cool beans.
I guess we should tell Alexis. Because there's like, they tell you more about Sirius Black like later in the book. But for right now, like, just know that he's a mass murderer.
Yes. That's what he's, what he's known for.
I mean, there's more exposition later and like, we'll tell you like the whole tale. But for now, all you need to know is that he's a mass murderer.
Yeah. Like the headline that Harry saw was mass murderer escapes from Azkaban.
Yeah.
So Jenny's in love with a mass murderer.
Well, yes.
Oh, yeah. I'm a Scorpio.
Well, yes.
I like murder.
So
that's amazing.
You know, just
Alexis looks so disappointed.
You know what? It's just girly things. Just girly things.
I like that. That's what you took away from like all of the Harry Potter universe is that I love a mass murderer.
Yeah.
I can't.
That's amazing.
That's what stuck out.
But yeah, so it's a little weird that he's kind of just chill about it.
clearly, Harry's had a traumatic life. He's like, okay, fine.
You know, it's not the first guy to be having some beef with me.
I mean, honestly, at this point, he's already been attacked by Voldemort 3 different times.
And he's like,
come at me, bro.
Come at me. For those of you listening, which is everyone, Marianne did the hopefully chest universal ball. Symbol of come at me, bro, and like pounded her chest and stuck it out. Like, come at me. Yeah, that's
hopefully
there
you heard
she
it.
Is.
Anyways, please.
Anyways, so after that, they head back to school the next day. They have to sit with this creepy, shabby looking dude, who is the new data professor that they find out. And his name is R.J. Lupin, Remus Lupin, to be exact. Alexis, give us your first impression of Lupin after just hearing this name.
I think he's French.
Ooh.
Okay.
Is he French?
No, he's not, but okay. Oui, oui.
But it's a compelling character development.
Okay, yeah, I think he's French, and he probably eats croissants. And I picture he has, like, a really, like, straight mustache. Like, a really thin...
I was really hoping you were going to say that.
Really?
Because you said French, and that's what I thought of. And I was like, dude's got to have a straight mustache.
Okay, yeah, for our really listeners thin... in France, we know that that's not, like, the universal symbol for a Frenchman.
Yeah, but it's what us Americans think.
Yeah, we're not very educated here, so just forgive us, okay? America's been through a lot.
Yeah, we have. Yeah, and he probably has the little, like, patch right here on his chin.
He's a soul patch?
Right?
Yeah. Is that what that's called?
Yeah. Yes.
A little soul patch?
All I can think of is Adam Sandler with the little soul patch from that movie. With Jennifer Aniston. What's it called, guys?
With Jennifer Aniston?
Yeah, they go on vacation with the kids.
Blended?
He lies to Brooklyn Decker. No, that's Drew Barrymore. Come on. Guys, you're making me look like a failure on this podcast. What's it called?
I have no idea.
Just go with it. Okay. Just go with it.
No. Sure.
Whatever. Everybody who's seen that movie knows what I'm talking about, so it's fine. I'll send you guys a gift later.
Sorry.
Anything else?
Okay, well, all of your stuff was... Oh?
Yeah, no, I feel like he's very serious, but cool.
So Remus Lupin is very serious, all but right. cool. Okay.
I mean, he has a cool name.
That's very accurate. That's the only accurate thing that you've said thus far.
Yeah.
Oh, thank you. I am
But
so
it's
happy.
Right on the nose. He is very serious and very cool.
In more ways than one. And we'll get to it.
We'll get to it.
Love it.
But anyways, all of a sudden, you know, they're on, like I said, they're on the train, on to Hogwarts. They've got this random sleeping professor just doing his thing, but they were able to read like his name, whatever. They're just all chilling on their way. And then all of a sudden, the train suddenly stops. And some creepy looking things called Dementors get on the train. Harry hears a woman screaming, ah! And passes out. Lupin saves them. And when Harry because he wakes up, he's like in a sudden wake, he saves them. And then Harry wakes up, instructs him, because Harry, after he saves them, Harry knocks out whatever, right? Harry wakes up and he's instructed by Remus to eat some chocolate, then disappears to go talk with the conductor. So, Alexis, what do you think Dementors do? A, kill people.
Oh, okay.
This is a question. What do you think, Alexis, what do you think Dementors do? A, kill people. B, haunt people. Or C, make you depressed.
That's a good question.
Would you like the answers repeated?
No, okay. I got them. Okay. I got them. It could be any of the three, if you ask me.
It could be.
I'm going to say haunt people.
Haunt people? Nope.
No.
You know? First wrong answer.
Damn.
You were on a roll.
Very close. You were close.
I don't think it's kill. So is it the last one?
Yep. Yeah, they do. Okay. They make you depressed.
They suck out all the happy memories in you.
Yeah.
So that's
gross.
Oh, and then also if you're around them long enough, they'll eventually just suck out your soul.
Yeah. You know? Yeah. So at first they start off with the happy memories, and then when they're still not enough for them.
All right, we're not going to get into this. Okay. We gotta leave Alexis with some air of mystery.
But anyways, chocolate. So he's fine because chocolate makes you happy.
Chocolate does make you happy. So, some punk ass kids are making fun of Harry because he like passes out, which is not—it's not cool, bro. Don't make fun of other people. But the story goes on, and they arrive at school. And so, upon their arrival, Professor McGonagall. Do you remember her? She turns into a cat.
That's all I remember about her.
Okay, cool. She's got a really tight bun. So she's like, "Yo, Harry and Hermione, we need to talk," which is all sorts of suspicious because McGonagall's usually busy at this point. She's getting little kids sorted into their houses, like. She's running the show. She's like, I got to talk to you too. So she gets them into like their office, into her office. And she tries to get Harry to go to the hospital wing, but Harry straight up refuses. He's like, no, like this punk ass kid is making fun of me. Like if I have to go to the hospital for this, like I'm never going to hear the end of it. Like I'll be fine. I feel okay. He's like, Lupin gave me some chocolate. So everybody's like, ooh, like a professor that knows what he's doing. What? Chocolate. So obviously we're on to something. So Professor McGee, as I call her, then asks to talk to Hermione, but alone. She, like, makes it a point to be like, we need to speak to each other alone, which is also super sus. So they both, like, Harry and Hermione go down to the feast afterwards, and Hermione's like, oh, like, she just wanted to talk to me about my schedule. Like, she's being kind of, like, you know, she's, like, skirting around the subject. But she, like, goes down to the feast with Harry, and the night goes on as normal. Like, everything's totally chill, right? So next morning, everyone's getting their schedule, and this year they have extra courses, like I mentioned before. And so one of those extra courses is divination. So divination is taught by Sybil Trelawney, who claims to be a psychic. After saying her name and giving you her course, what do you think Sybil Trelawney looks like?
Oh, like what's I have such a clear image in my head.
This makes me happy. What is it?
She wears round glasses, has very messy curly hair. Right?
Yes.
Okay.
Wait, have you seen the movie clearly?
Yeah, but like a long time ago. Like, you can't ask me questions about it.
She doesn't remember.
I just, like you said, she thinks she's a psychic. So there's only one way those types of people look.
There's only one way.
Okay.
Yeah. And it's clearly working, right? Am I spot on?
I mean, it's clearly working. You're spot on.
Oh, my God.
Okay, I'm assuming she wears some, like, jewelry, wears some, like, baggy dresses.
Yeah, you're, like, spot on.
Hey, what can I say? Psychics do and shop at the same places.
She would know.
I love that you're saying this because I literally wrote in, like, the next, like, part of the story, like, she burns incense and wears lots of shawls and big old glasses, basically Jenny. That was my explanation of Sybil Trelawney.
That's just accurate.
My God, that was amazing.
So it was very good. So you've established that you know her. So in their first class of reading tea leaves, just something that me and Alexis have done together, may I add. And actually, by the way, I was pretty good at it. I saw a duck in Alexis's cup, and guess what we saw the next day? Noel gaggle of ducks. So they're reading tea leaves.
Considering where you used to live and where we all currently live.
Okay, you know what, Elizabeth? I saw a duck and then we crossed paths with a duck. Let me have this. So they're reading their tea leaves.
I'm
going
to see
class.
A duck on my way to work tomorrow. And
you better text me. So, surprise, she predicts that Harry is going to die. She's like, oh man, like you're cursed. Like that's it, you dying. So why does she say this? Because, well, Ron's trying to, like, read his tea leaves in the cup, and he's doing a really bad job of it. So she takes the cup from him, and she's like, the Grim! And she has, like, a whole ass thing. And so she sees the Grim in his teacup. What do you think a Grim is? Do you think it's A, a clown, B, a dog, or C, a reaper?
I mean, the obvious answer is a reaper.
Is that what you're going with?
It can't be a dog, can it?
Dogs
are sources of joy. A clown makes more sense because they're...
I was going to write something else in this slot, but if I wrote it, I thought that you would like disown me as a friend, so I decided not to.
What were you going to write?
Oh, we know.
Probably a spider.
Probably a spider.
I'm going to say a reaper. A reaper?
Okay, sea reaper?
Yeah.
Nope. A Grim is actually a dog.
It cannot be.
Yep. It's a big ass spectral dog that roams around graveyards.
That's
like the legend, like in real world, but in wizarding world they say that it's like the biggest omen of death, like in their culture, like you see a Grim, you dying. So Ron, who's actually named Ronald Bilious Weasley, had an uncle Bilious who saw a Grim and died like the next day.
Wow.
And FYI, a Grim is always portrayed as a giant black dog.
Yes.
Yeah. Which, if you remember, didn't Harry just see one before when he ran away?
Elizabeth's being very nice to you. I wasn't even going to clue you in on that one.
I already forgot.
I see. That's why I kind of had to do that for her, because I knew it already disappeared.
So remember, he saw a dog. He fell down when he saw the dog, and now we're seeing a big ass dog in his cup, and this lady's like, you did.
You're going to die.
And like, Hermione at this point already, she was like, I don't believe this, Kaka. And Ronald, like, Ron is just, like, kind of there existing, reading these tea leaves. But Harry's freaking out a little bit now.
Ron is freaking out because his uncle died from seeing the Grim. So he's like, yo, you're going to die and I'm concerned about you. So you've got Harry thinking, he's like, he hasn't told anybody. He didn't open up to his friends, right? So he's like, well, I can't tell them now that I saw a giant dog because they're going to think I'm going to die. So he's seen the dog, is now told that the dog is here to kill him. Ron's like, my uncle died from seeing this dog. But Hermione's the only one who's like, guys, it's a dog. Like, she's like you. She's like, dogs are cool. Like, whatever. Yeah. So, Harry and his friends also have to attend Care of Magical Creatures that day. And the class is now with Hagrid, who's become a professor. He's a big old dude who used to be the gamekeeper. Don't know if you remember him. But Malfoy gets attacked by a hippogriff named Buckbeak. But we'll, like, circle back to that a little bit later. But for now, I just want to know, what do you think a hippogriff is? Now, you can tell me what you're picturing, but I also have some multiple choice for you, but I kind of almost want to know where your head's at before we do the multiple choice.
Okay, so before you said a hippogriff was a creature, I thought it was like a calculus term.
Okay.
Like a graph?
Girl, didn't you take calculus?
It's a creature. I did. I didn't do well.
That was about I to say that well. Wasn't Alexis's strong subject.
No, it was not. That is why I am an animator. Okay. But now that I know it's a creature, I am very simple minded when it comes to guessing things.
I feel like you have proven the opposite today.
Thank
Brett.
You. Oh, I try, but it's a hippogriff. It's a hippo, okay? Mm-hmm. It's a big old hippo.
Mm-hmm. Big old hippo.
With griffin wings.
Obviously.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so multiple choice would be pretty easy for you right now. A, okay. A siren type of animal. B, a giant hippo with talons and a beak. C, C, a cross between a horse and a bird.
Okay, it's B.
You're wrong.
Yes. You're wrong.
And I 100% baited you into that one because I know you so well. I was like, Alexis is 100% going to think this is a hippo animal. It's actually C, a cross between a horse and a bird. So it's got like the lower back body
of a horse
and only the hind legs of a horse, but the front legs, chest and head, and wings of a giant bird.
Okay, I got the bird part right.
Yeah. You got the bird part. You definitely got the bird part right. Okay. The hippo part, not so much.
No, but it would be nice to be like to have a hippo.
A flying hippo.
You know? A flying hippo.
I feel like that would be the scariest thing known to man.
Exactly.
Because hippos are already enough.
And could you imagine he's just like, the flying hippo's just like flying, and then like if he sees a predator.
But also like.
If he sees a predator and he's like, I need to wipe them out. He just stops his wings and falls. Wah!
Just smushes them.
Not quite sure that that would be like the actual outcome of that situation. But just like the sheer muscle needed in those wings to get a hippo's body off the ground would be like
in
immense.
The wizarding world, magic is possible.
I mean, in my exactly. world, that would definitely be a flightless bird, but that's just me. And then it would be like, it would live in water, on land, and the sky. So it's like a triple threat.
Yes.
I mean, it should have really just been a hippo, but that's fine.
We missed an opportunity.
Yes. I think they did.
Yeah. I'm going to let Elizabeth tell us about potions class.
Okay. So Malfoy had just gotten attacked. Do you remember who Malfoy is? The punk-ass blonde kid.
Yes.
I love that we're referring to him as like the punk ass blonde kid.
Because right now he still really is the punk ass really blonde kid.
I mean, he always is, but yes. Okay, but before we start the potion stuff that Elizabeth's going to talk about, we need to do Smokey update. He's being cute as a button. He's turned into a little loaf and he's sitting on a blanket minding his own business like an angel.
We love him.
I wonder how long that's going to last.
For now.
Yeah, I wonder how long it's going to last. When will he try to kill Alexis next? Stay tuned.
Yes.
Alrighty. So back to potions with our homeboy Malfoy, the punk-ass blonde kid. So Malfoy in potions says something like super sus about Sirius Black and how Harry should want revenge, like totally baiting Harry in that moment. And Harry's just like, what? Like, why would I want revenge? But it's all a mystery. It's not going to be revealed to us just yet.
Bum, bum, bum.
So now Harry's being left with all these questions, and now they have to go to Dada with Lupin. So,
Alexis, what do you think Dada is?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
It's a class. We'll give you that.
Yeah. I was listening to that. I'm assuming, you know, it's like a Magic for Dummies class, very beginner, because it's called Dada, and that sounds like a baby noise. Dada.
It's like, the letters stand for something. D-A-D-A.
No.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
We just say Dada because we're lazy.
Yeah, that's very true.
Dragons and Dobby.
Dragons and Dobby.
Accelerated.
Actually, you're right.
You got it right on the nose.
You got it right on the nose, 100%.
You learn about dragons and house elves because they obviously go hand in hand. Yes. And then it's an accelerated course, so you do it in like 2 weeks.
You do it in 2 weeks.
How did you know?
Even though we've had 3 data professors already. Like one every year.
They're just not good at teaching.
That is actually true.
That is true.
That's pretty,
for most of them. For most of them. Actually, so you got one thing right there.
Okay.
Thank you. Originally, your question for this section was going to be like, what do you think Dada is? But I was not creative enough to come up with more than one like other alliteration for D-A-D-A. So I was like, you know who would do a great job at this? Alexis.
So we have Dragons and Dobby
Accelerated.
No one will ever forget that.
Okay.
I mean, I guess we can tell you what the truth is now. It's, it's Defense Against the Dark Arts.
Oh.
Yeah.
That's cool, too.
Yeah. Pretty much the same thing as Dragons and Dobby.
I mean, I think so. I think so.
It's interchangeable.
Almost there.
So, as a quick side note, before we start our Defense Against the Dark Arts class... there's a weird moment when they're like going between like potions and Dada class where like Hermione appears and then like disappears and then reappears and then pretends like nothing's happened. Like it's one of those like, oh, Hermione, you're here right next to me. And then they turn around and then she's no longer there. And then they like turn around again and now she's back. And they were like, what's going on, girl? She's like, what? What are you talking about? And she's also, like, out of breath. So, like, obviously you don't believe her. But at the end of the day, they just were like, okay. I guess when you go to a school that's full of magic and weird stuff, you just start accepting a lot of weird stuff.
Bitch, if I was next to you and then I wasn't and I'm out of breath and you have all these stares, you would have 100% been like, Jenny's not fit. She's just not athletic. Like, I just probably would have been out of breath just climbing the first staircase.
Not this. Yeah,
that's just the truth.
Not the call out.
I mean, every day I get out of breath trying to climb the stairs to my apartment. I'm just like...
Yeah, same. When I'm climbing the stairs to go up to, like, the second floor where my classroom is, every time.
Yeah. How can I cycle for 60 minutes, can't climb up 3 flights of stairs? I'll be like, ooh, it's a day. Let me know. That's why I don't believe in exercise. This has been my PSA. Have a good day, everybody.
I will say, as a previous third floor apartment renter, like Jenny, you never get used to those stairs.
No.
And then, God forbid, you can't carry all your groceries in one trip. I was about
to say, everybody's always trying to be in my business about why I go to the grocery one time a week. Because, bitch, that makes 2 bags worth of groceries and I'm not carrying anything else up these stairs. We're not coming back to the car. We're not buying gallons of milk. We're carrying light things up this freaking staircase because I'm not coming back down. Yesterday, I had to climb them 3 times. Wow. Because I went and bought plants and I bought a bunch of, like, pots for the plants and I bought a bunch of potting soil. And a bitch couldn't carry it all up in one trip. It took me 3 trips.
That's so sad. I'm so sorry for you.
I know. I re-signed my lease here that is too expensive for me to afford because I was like, I'm not moving out of here because I'm not climbing the stairs more than once.
Yeah, I will say.
I can't empty my apartment on one shot.
Yeah. Moving out of a third floor apartment is very interesting.
No, it's not because I'm selling all of my furniture and I'm hiring movers. I'm not doing anything myself. I will save up for it.
Yeah.
I agree. Yeah. Anyways.
But back to Harry Potter and the stairs.
So they arrive at Defense Against the Dark Arts, and it is time to fight some bug arts. Alexis, what do you think bug arts are?
She literally shook her head.
I will give you choices, but I just want to know again, like, your initial reaction to what you think bug arts are.
My initial reactions are really stupid.
It's gonna have to do something with boogers, doesn't it?
What?
I said it has to do something with boogers, doesn't it?
No, nothing to do with boogers. Everything to do with Pop-Tarts.
For sure.
Because
I honestly think, are you J.K. Rowling? Are you she was not being...
I think I should
honestly,
be.
Honestly, you should
I
be.
Think I'm just like...
Somebody who's not her should be her.
Yes, at this point.
I've heard.
So Alexis is just gonna take over all the world building from now on.
So
it'll be very exciting. It'll be like Harry Potter, but on acid.
But on acid. It'll be like if Harry Potter lived in Rick and Morty. Is what
That
would be like, amazing.
Where else? Like, where else are we going to find Pop-Tart Bogarts? Like,
I can create there, right? But yeah, yes. I imagine like just literally Pop-Tarts.
Oh, obviously. Because everybody knows that a Wildberry Pop-Tart has no business.
Yeah.
Yeah. So like
toasted, toasted. They're toasted.
Okay.
You know. Sorry about that.
Warm, steamy.
Well, Alexis, Pop-Tarts is not one of your three multiple choices. Answers. So immediately you're wrong there.
Okay.
Your three choices of what Bogarts are A, mummies, B, cousins of vampires, or C, shapeshifters.
That's not what I expected at all.
You sound so disappointed.
Clearly. I am disappointed. Let's go with mummies.
Wrong again.
Mummies are mummies.
Damn.
Mummies are mummies.
Yeah, but dogs are also nice, but in Harry Potter, they'll kill you.
I mean, they're all so nice. They're all so nice.
So what are we saying here, Marianne?
Okay, so Bogarts are actually shapeshifters. No one knows what they actually like look like because they normally live in like dark, confined spaces. Like think like a drawer, a cupboard, something like that. And so when you open those things, they will come out and take the form of your deepest, darkest fear.
Oh.
So your Bogart 100% looks like a spider.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
Yeah, and if it's anything like Ron's Bogart, because Ron's Bogart is also a spider, it was a very large spider, too.
Like a giant spider.
Like,
thank you.
Like Florida.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
So what's really interesting about them, though, is the only way to get rid of them, kill them, whatever, is to force them to change their form into something fun, comical, and you laugh. And that basically causes them pain. And then
they disappear.
You shout.
I don't even know what happens. They just disappear.
They just run away.
They run away? Or, like, can you actually, like, vanquish them?
We answered this. We answered this in the Magical Spirits episode. So we know it. I just can't remember the exact answer.
I don't think that they die.
I don't think they die either. I think they just disappear. They leave. Or they can't die because they don't exist. Like, they don't have, like...
Yes!
They don't have, like, a soul. So they're born... Fun fact, Alexis, they're born out of other people's like miseries and like it depends what kind of spirit they are, but I think specifically Bogarts are born out of like people's fears. Like little kids like having like really bad nightmares could literally conjure up a Bogart if they wanted to. If they were strong
That's
enough.
That's like terrible. That's literally Thank having a monster under your bed. Oh my God.
Thank you to Marianne for paying attention when we do these things.
I remember being really interested in
that. That was such a long time ago.
Yeah, it was a while.
Yeah. Oh man.
Let me tell you though, we are probably still wrong in some way. And we will need a correction.
I'm just going to live Google it.
Go listen to our last episode, that Magical Spirits.
That's going to take me forever to find it. I'll just go into the Google Docs.
Yeah, I was going to say, go into the Google Docs if you want. If you want a live Google for the people listening and for Alexis.
We're going to live Google ourselves.
Okay. But anyways, so this is where you've probably heard, especially like Raul or something, say this spell. Ridiculous, because you say ridiculous and then they turn into something comical. So like when Ron said ridiculous, his spider all of a sudden, all eight legs had like rollerblades on it, and so now the spider was like falling on its ass, and so it was causing everyone to laugh.
That's still terrifying.
Yeah, I was about to say, I don't think that would work for you.
No,
because honestly, of rollerblading spider is still very scary.
I guess if for you, Alexis, I would like imagine it being like all of a sudden it's like hair. Like it looks like a like you know what they put on like bald men's heads?
A toupee.
I imagine it turning into a toupee after Alexis is like ridiculous.
Okay. I like that better. So we don't have a straight up answer.
Oh,
I read through the whole Bogart segment.
Wow.
And all I know is that there was a really famous one that eventually the Ministry of Magic trapped in a matchbox. So I guess you can't kill them. And they're never alive. So technically they are not dead. It's not that you can't kill them. They're just not dead. Because it was the episode that we did on like, spirits and ghosts and stuff. But they don't technically count as either one because they were never alive. So they are never dead. So I guess you can't kill them. I'm assuming if the Ministry of Magic trapped one inside of a matchbox, then you can't kill them.
You can handle them.
But. I'm still gonna live Google like what happens to them, but I don't think
so. They can just be
answers,
created.
Folks.
They can be created from nightmares, and then they can just continue being created and not
die.
I think
there's still a way to expel them, like not kill them, but expel them. But I don't know.
I think
maybe depending per spirit, like the expelling of them. Like, depends on the degree. So, like, I'm sure there's not going to be a bajillion million, like, Dementors and Bogarts and Poltergeists just running around infinitely. I'm sure there's one way to kind of, like, have their spirit, like, fizzle out. But I don't know if there's, like, a real answer to that. But I think that's just kind of the general gist, the idea.
Okay. Well, anyway, Bogarts are crazy wild.
Yes.
But in defense against a dark arts class, it's pretty important that they learn to defend themselves against something dark like a Bogart. So Lupin, you can't kill him.
There's something called amortal.
Yes. Oh. We talked about that.
We did talk about that. So yeah.
It's ringing faint bells. Anyways.
But where do they go? Like, is there just, like, a land? Like, where they all just show up and they're like, hey, Bob, like, how'd it go? And he's like, oh, they vanquished me. Like, where
do they
go?
It's a spirit world. Like, Avatar.
Maybe.
Ooh. Anyways. So, basically, Lupin is having everyone take their turn fighting the Bogart. So, everyone's, like, darkest fears come up. They shout ridiculous. Everyone laughs. Yada, yada, yada. However, he does not let Harry go. So Harry's about to go. And immediately Lupin is like, oh, shit, it's Harry Potter. So he stops Harry from doing it and he does it instead. The reasoning for that is Lupin thought Harry's biggest fear would be Voldemort. And they didn't want like Voldemort's like corporeal body to like appear there and like actually genuinely frighten everyone to death. But fun fact, that wouldn't have been his Bogart.
Yeah.
Okay. I found the answer. You just banish him somewhere else.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
They just rematerialize elsewhere. Which is kind of scary because it's like, what if you're just like chilling in your house and then like boom, all of a sudden there's a Bogart just like chilling with you. Like, hey, the name's Frank.
I would just like to
say. I don't like that at all.
I would just like to say this was a very Ravenclaw moment for Jennifer here.
I'm sorry. I couldn't drop it.
Yeah, she literally could not drop it until she had an answer.
I also hate like when you're on like listening to a podcast and they're like, oh, I don't know. And then they just move on. Like, I need answers.
So for all the other Ravenclaws out there, we gave you your answer.
You're welcome. Okay.
Okay. So we're going to fast forward a little bit. And Quidditch is starting. Do you remember Quidditch, Alexis?
Yes.
Yes, the sport on brooms with lots of different types of balls in the air.
We love that.
Yep. I can't. Okay, so Ron and Hermione are arguing, which is not new, but they're arguing about their pets. So Hermione this year got a cat named Crookshanks. He seems very old and kind of like an a-hole. A pretty accurate representation. If you ever met our friend Christy's cat, he's kind of like Christy's old cat. Max.
Actually, yeah.
Yeah, he's like a Max. Yeah. A little fat, a little old, a little mean. But like, you still kind of love him anyway.
Jesus Christ.
Hey, I knew
I'm
Max.
Sorry, Christy, if you're listening.
I knew Max for a very long time, okay?
I know. She loved that cat. She was, like, devastated when he passed away.
Yeah.
Was like,
so was I.
This cat's kind of an asshole. Like, Max. It's just funny. But it's not funny.
It's not funny. Serious. Yeah. Black.
Serious.
And so Ron actually this whole time has had a pet rat named Scabbers. And he's had it since like the first year.
Alexis is displeased.
Why does he have a rat?
It's his pet.
It was his brother's at some point, so obviously it got passed down to him. It's literally a 12-year-old rat.
It's also not common for them to have rats. Like it's common for them to have rats.
Wasn't it common? That's one of the pets that you can like bring to school. You got owls. You got toads, which are the lame pets of the year, and then you've got like rats and cats.
Yeah. So
No dogs.
Wow is correct. It's because the dogs are mean, quote unquote.
Though honestly though, can you imagine the mayhem if like a bunch of kids brought their
dogs? A little bit though.
I know. It's a lot of work.
Like cats is a different story, but like imagine like 50 something dogs roaming around your castle.
And there's magical dogs. So it's not just regular dogs. Like there's magical dogs. So like a Krupp. Oh, yeah. A Krupp is like a terrier, but it's got two tails. They're cute.
The mayhem.
Anyways, okay. So Hermione's cat Crookshanks has tried to attack Ron's rat several times that year. And so Ron is not happy. Hermione's defending her cat, saying Scabbers, whatever. He's a rat. Like, she's just, Crookshanks is being a cat. Cats chase and kill rats. Like, whatever. But anyways, they're fighting again. And now their first trip to Hogsmeade is approaching. So the field trip in which Harry never got a signature for. So let's see what happens, Marianne.
Because
he blew a bazon.
While everyone goes to have fun, Harry has to stay behind because he didn't get the signature that he needed on his permission slip. But Lupin invites him for tea in his office instead. So at least there's some kind of like an upside to this. During their cup of tea, Snape walks in and hands Lupin a potion. Harry is mad sus and tells Lupin snake. tells Lupin he's a snake. And he's just like, then Snape is a dark dude. And Lupin is not fazed. Like, he's just like, all right, and?
All right, and?
He's like, this is brand new information. No, it's not brand new information for him. And we'll get to that. But anyways, everyone attends the Halloween feast. And on their way back to the dorms, they discover that the portrait has been slashed. The portrait that's in front of the Gryffindor Tower, you know, the one that they have to kind of pass through in order to get to their dorms, has been slashed. So the fat lady, who is the one that lives in that portrait, is missing.
Alexis, do you remember the special thing about portraits in Harry Potter universe?
No.
So, good thing that we brought that up. So, portraits.
I knew immediately.
Portraits move in the Harry Potter universe. So, obviously, it's got to be like magical portraits. But the characters, like, if they're realistic, the characters, everything, like animals, people, they move and they can go into other portraits. It's like a portrait world, if you want to kind of like go for that lore. And they can even take the, like, if it's like real people that they're based off of, they can like actually take the form of that person, like their essence. But this particular character that guards basically this portrait that guards the Gryffindor Tower, her name is the Fat Lady. I don't think she probably has a real name, but that's what she's known for. She's known as the Fat Lady. She's kind of like this, like if you think of like an opera singer, like a really fat opera singer that's like, oh, like that's
her.
Like just picture that. That's her.
Amazing.
Just my voice.
Just my voice. Yes. But anyways, so she's missing. And they're like, where's the fat lady? Her portrait was slashed.
It's like all torn up.
And they fought. They like are searching for her. The animal is going through the portraits. Everyone's like, ah. And then they're like, there's the fat lady. And they run over to her. And they're like, who did this to you? And she's like, it's Sirius Black.
Bum, bum, bum.
So Sirius Black has entered Hogwarts. But anyways,
the most wanted man in the wizarding world currently.
A mass murderer. Has entered Hogwarts. Like,
and was this close to coming into the Gryffindor common room?
Like, I don't even think Voldemort got that close. Like, Voldemort's essence kind of got that close, but not, like, for real. So, it's fine. Anyways, a couple days pass, and it's Quidditch time! Yeah!
Bah, bah, bah. These kids are like a mass murderer was loose at our school, but they're like,
we gotta play sports. Bah, bah, bah. I mean, that's life all the time.
That's very U.S. in the pandemic. So
yeah, 100%. That's America.
So,
you know, we can't gather together for a funeral of a loved one, but it's totally okay for thousands of people to gather to watch a sporting
event. Sipping on that tea.
And I can say that because I like sports. I'm not saying that because I hate sports. I love sports, but it's stupid. Mm-hmm. Anyways.
So while in the match with Harry, he is surrounded by Dementors all of a sudden. Like, literally. So we didn't mention this, but Dementors have been kind of like... We also didn't mention this before, but okay, the Dementors, the scary things that make you depressed, they're actually the guardians. Like, they're the ones that are protecting Azkaban, like the prison. So you, if you try to escape Azkaban, like, you're going to run into those Dementors, right? And they're like everywhere around the prison. And so,
by the way, we should say that Azkaban is on an island, like in the middle of the ocean, in the middle of nowhere.
It's very difficult. There's a lot of things that play into Azkaban to make it difficult for them to leave. Yeah. One of them.
That's why when you said that you thought the prisoner was like wet and like
dirty and stuff, it was very spot on,
like accurate,
because they would be kind of like wet and dirty. I don't know about swampy, wet and dirty for sure.
But wet and dirty for
so sure. So anyways, Dementors are one
like
of the...
maybe like sea salt grimy.
Yeah. Like seaweed on them. A little bit.
Okay.
Yeah. but anyways, so Dementors are one of the things that keep them like from leaving out. And so they figured when Sirius Black, mass murderer, escapes from Azkaban... They assume for some reason he's going after Harry. And so they're like, all right, you know what we're going to do? We're going to get some of these Dementor guardians and we're going to have them guard Hogwarts. So now there's Dementors surrounded all around Hogwarts, guarding that place essentially. And so in the middle of this Quidditch game, Alexis, all of a sudden the Dementors are like, you know what I really want to do? I want to play some Quidditch.
I want to eat some souls
while I'm playing the ball, hitting the stick. Like, that.
Hitting the stick.
For some reason. So the Dementors all of a sudden are on the field and they're chasing Harry. Of course. So he's just surrounded by Dementors. They're like, sip, sip, sip on his soul, and he passes out again. Except Jenny did not like my impression of a Dementor.
I don't think anyone did.
I don't think anyone was impressed.
I think our listeners are very happy that they couldn't see that.
But listen, is it an accurate representation of how gross you feel when a Dementor's on you? I think so, right?
Okay,
So he passes out. Harry passes out again, except this time he's in the air on a broomstick and he plummets onto the ground with his broom. He wakes up in the hospital wing to find that they lost the game.
Because that's important.
Because that was the
homeboy just fell like 50 feet out of the air.
Did he win?
Wait, though. To give him the benefit of the doubt, for the past 2 years, he has also passed out or gotten sick at Quidditch games, and they've ended up winning. So I feel like that was a genuine
question.
He's
also a 13-year-old boy. I don't think he's really that concerned about dying, even though he's been close to it.
Clearly.
He should be. But he's like, mortality. What is that? Anyways, Dumbledore saved him from falling to his death, so that's good. Also, he saw the big black dog again before falling, so that's good. His broomstick was thrashed, flew into the Whomping Willow, so that's good.
Do you remember the Whomping Willow, Alexis?
Yeah, that's the sad tree.
Sure.
Yeah.
Sad, is it, I guess?
It's not a...
Well, I mean...
Well, you're thinking willow, like...
I think it's more angry.
Yeah, it's an angry tree, I would say.
It's definitely... It's got some feist.
Oh. Yeah, there's a reason why it's called Whomping Willow.
What?
Like it...
But it's an angry... Oh, okay.
Yeah, it literally...
Okay. It womps.
Yes.
Like in Mario. Aren't those the things in Mario? Womps?
No.
What are they called?
What are you referring to?
Oh, they're called thwomps. They're called thwomps.
Like a thwomp? Like the actual...
The big gray thing that thwomps you. Yeah.
You know, I didn't know what those were called.
Those are called thwomps. I know this because there's a track in Mario Kart called, like, Thwomp Ruins or whatever. It's got those gray guys over. Sorry, everybody, now that we're done with that. But, okay. Yeah.
Fun fact.
Yes. Imagine if that had a baby with a tree. That's exactly what that tree would be.
That is an angry tree.
Yeah, so we've already technically spoken to you about this tree.
Yeah, 100%.
In book two... If you,
it's pretty important.
Vaguely remember, Harry and Ron flew their car, their dad's car, to school, and then crashed their car into the Whomping Willow and almost got beaten to death
by this tree.
So that was just by this tree.
Alexis's face is blank.
No recollection.
I'm hearing this for the first time.
No recollection.
She's like, "Wow, that's so interesting."
That's so interesting. That's wild.
Wow. Smokey update. He's giving himself a bath. He has just woken up. He's arisen.
Oh my god, he is arisen. Nice. Look at stretch. Him. He's so perfect. That was a good stretch.
It's such a good stretch. But anyways.
Okay. Anyways, back to the Whomping Willow and Harry's
so,
room.
Yes. It's not going good for Harry right now. They lost the game. He saw the big black dog. His broomstick that he's had since his first year is broken. Like, it's not going good for him. Lupin at this point promises to teach Harry the spell to cast the Patronus, which will keep the Dementors away because Harry has had enough. He's like, I don't want to get made fun of anymore. I don't want to lose any more Quidditch games. I don't want to pass out like a sissy. And
that really was his reasoning. Like, he was tired of, like, passing out.
Yeah, it really was. Like, it,
I mean, I would be too. I'd be really upset if I had to pass out every time I came into contact.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true.
And be super sad.
Yeah, because then you're really sad afterwards, even if they didn't suck out your soul or anything.
Also, P.S., he just repeatedly hears his mom and dad dying whenever they're around him.
Oh, yeah.
So it's not fun.
Yeah, you know? It's not a fun experience.
Yeah, it's pretty psychologically scarring. So.
Yeah, and the only way to, like, repel Dementors is with that spell, the Patronus, because it's basically, like, a spell that embodies just pure goodness, and that pure goodness and that pure happiness is so repelling to Dementors that they can't help but flee from it. So, Harry needs that ASAP.
Deep stuff, bro.
Alrighty, so we're moving on back to Hogsmeade. The kids are going back to Hogsmeade, and Harry, once again, is about to be left behind because he never got his permission slip signed. But thankfully, Ron's twin brothers, Fred and George, are coming to the rescue with, I think, most of our favorites, magical items, but for sure Jenny's favorite magical item. It is called the Marauder's Map. So basically, they give Harry what looks like a blank piece of parchment, right? It's just blank. Yeah. And so they're just like, oh, watch this, Harry. This is how we do all of our business. Because Fred and George are known as being troublemakers in the school. So they obviously have the ins and outs of the school. So what do they say? I'm like building up to, like, what do they say?
Because you can't remember.
Because you can't remember.
not
I solemnly swear I'm up to no good. Not that pregnancy brain.
Liz is just fucking building all honestly, this stuff, and she's like, guys,
I was like, why is this taking so long?
I was okay, literally, but honestly, this whole
I'm
time.
I'm surprised that you remember my name on most days.
I know.
Because the pregnancy brain with this baby has been hella strong.
Yeah, it's been really bad. But anyways, that was, you guys just saw me basically filibustering until I could come up with an answer.
Spiraling. Absolutely spiraling.
I was like, damn, Liz, come on.
Anyways, so you tap this blank piece of parchment and you say, I solemnly swear I am up to no good. And then all of a sudden, an entire map of Hogwarts appears in front of you. So it's not just a map of Hogwarts. It shows every secret passage in and out of the school, even ones that like teachers and Dumbledore don't know about. And then the really interesting fact of this map is it also, which is also a little creepy when you think about it.
It's super creepy.
It tracks every living human inside of Hogwarts.
And cat.
And
because it tracks Mrs. Norris. So oh. I guess it can track animals too. I don't know.
But that just makes me think Mrs. Norris is not,
not a cat.
Not a cat.
I have theories about Mrs. Norris.
Yes. But anyways, so basically you see like little like footprints of everyone in Hogwarts, and it has like a little banner saying who those footprints belong to. So you can literally just like watch Dumbledore pace around his office, or watch, you know, your girlfriend go cheat on you in the broom closet. Like,
that was going to be my next question.
Yeah. Actually, in one of the movies, yes. Like during the end credits, they do have like two footprints that are like on top of each other, but like facing mm-hmm. like in the right direction. Like they're totally doing it.
Yeah.
Nice.
Totally. Nice. Totally.
Somebody was being serviced in the bathroom.
Yes.
Love it.
Love it.
So they give this to Harry. So Harry can use one of the secret passages to leave Hogwarts and actually go to Hogsmeade for the first time. And Harry can do this because he has an invisibility cloak, and they're well aware of that as well. So he can
You should also be aware of that, but I bet you don't remember.
What? Invisibility?
Yes.
Whoa.
Oh.
Yeah, I know.
He uses it like a lot. Okay, cool.
Yeah. So they're like, here, Harry, go ahead, have a fun time. We basically have memorized every single way in and out of the school. We kind of don't need it anymore. We're passing it on to you. And so they go off. And Harry goes into Hogsmeade for the first time ever, which is great. I'm so happy. So he goes, he finds Ron and Hermione, and then they head to our motherland, the Three Broom Chicks.
The Three Broomsticks.
See, look at that. I so automatically say broom chicks now.
It was really hard for me to type it. I was like struggling.
So, yes, we get our name from a place in Hogsmeade called the Three Broomsticks, and it is basically this awesome bar in Hogsmeade.
Yes, that's right. You've heard it. A bar. The 13-year-old goes to a bar.
A pub.
A pub.
Yes.
But yes, essentially a bar.
But a bar.
That's normal in Europe.
Yeah, it's normal. Pubs?
I feel like 13 is still a little young.
Yeah, 13 is young. But pubs are normal.
I mean, you can go to a pub.
Yeah, everyone can go to a pub.
Obviously. But my question is, like, they're drinking butterbeer, but, like, is it alcoholic? Like, I still need to know.
I always forget this answer, but I'm pretty sure butterbeer is alcoholic.
I think it is, too. And I think they're just all chilling.
I mean, if you look at the play Puffs, raise up your cups. Da, da, da. Guys, everyone needs to watch Puffs. Anyways.
That was a horrible rendition.
It was a very horrible rendition. But the point was that in the play, you know, you watch these 13-year-olds essentially, like, it's a time lapse and they're just getting drunk. Because.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like it makes sense for the wizarding world because at 17, you're considered like a fully grown adult that can basically have every right known to mankind at 17. So, you know, maybe they think 13 is like are 18 or 21. Well, I guess for the UK, it would be the UK's 18 because they can drink at 18. Yeah. And then 17 is like our 21.
Yeah. Maybe.
Maybe. Which, wow.
No, I mean, I don't really. It could, that is not a bad fan theory because I still have trouble finding that, like, there's no, like, after graduating from Hogwarts, like, you just go into the workforce and you start having babies you get married at 18. Like, they're not waiting.
Yeah, literally Harry's parents got married, 19 and had Harry at 20.
Yeah. So I did a Google, and it is alcoholic, very mildly so. But remember, Winky does get drunk.
Yeah,
she does.
And then Ron says something in the book to the effect of, like, but it's not that strong, though. And then Dobby's like, but a house elf, like, for a house elf it is. So it's very lightly alcoholic. So I'm thinking maybe, like, a Mike's Hard Lemonade type situation where it's not, like, super high in alcohol content. But, yeah, kids are drinking.
All right.
Just saying.
Hopefully we actually remember this fun fact, everyone.
Probably not. I'll just endlessly Google it until we're done with this podcast. Anyway, so here's one of my favorite parts of the book. I'm very excited about it. So while in the Three Broomsticks, everybody's chilling, and boom, they see Cornelius Fudge, Professor McGonagall, Flitwick, and Hagrid walk into the pub. So Harry's like, shit, like, I'm not supposed to be here. Like, I didn't get a permission slip, and McGonagall knows this. So he's like, I gotta hide. So naturally, what does he do? He hides under the table. I mean, he still has his invisibility cloak, but he's just like, I'm going to just chill out on the floor here, I guess. So Ron and Hermione appear to be alone. There's a barmaid that works at the Three Broomsticks. Her name is Rose Murta. She comes over, like, everybody, like, the professors and stuff, like, they, like, order their drinks, and she, like, brings them over to the table. And then the minister is like, Rose Murta, like, why don't you sit down and, like, have a drink with us? And she's like, for sure, my dude. And so they do what all adults do. They sit down and they start talking and gossiping. And he's like, bro, you don't even know the half of it with Sirius Black. Because she's pissed about the Dementor. She's like, no one wants to come to my freaking pub because you're surrounded by depression. Like, you got to do something about this. And he's like, my dude, that's going to be the least of your problems. Like, Sirius Black is a mass freaking murderer. And he's, like, coming after Harry, who's, like, right down the street from y'all. So then they give us the freaking tea. So you're about to find out what actually happened. So basically, Harry's parents went into hiding and they used the Fidelius charm to stay hidden. So that's basically when you're like, I'm going to tell my BFF something and then we're going to put a charm on it. And then no one's going to be able to know that secret unless my BFF tells them voluntarily. So basically, they're like, we're going to tell so-and-so this is, like, where we're staying, and then Voldemort will never be able to find us. Like, literally, Voldemort could be standing, like, right outside their window and never know that that's where they were because they would be hidden. Unless the BFF is like, I voluntarily give you this information. So that's how that works. So basically, they entrusted their location to a friend, sealed it with a charm, and now Voldemort can find them, right? So obviously, we know their friend ratted them out. Because Lady V finds them and kills them, and that's where this whole story starts. So we find out that they chose Sirius Black as their secret keeper because him and James were BFFs at school. He was even the best man at their wedding.
Yeah.
And James is like, my dude, I'm going to have you be the secret keeper. And he's like, for sure, my guy. And then he, like, rats him out. So also, we find out some scintillating information. Sirius Black is Harry's godfather.
Yeah, Alexis is like, vaguely familiar, yes.
Vaguely familiar. So obviously this is like the ultimate betrayal. Hagrid shows up to get Harry the night that his parents died. And he actually meets Sirius there, which we didn't know before. Sirius had a motorbike that he was, like, obsessed with. And he was like, Hagrid, you can take it. Like, get Harry, like, somewhere safe. Like, I'm going to peace out. Bye. So Hagrid was just like, you know, like, that's kind of suspicious looking back on it. Like, he loved that bike. Like, why wouldn't he just give it to me? It's because after he gave Hagrid the bike, he, like, I guess heads out to London. And their other friend, Peter Pettigrew, confronts him in the middle of a busy street in London. There's a whole bunch of muggles walking around. He's just like, yo, like, what you did isn't right. And so, basically, there was an altercation. And Black, he blasts up the road, kills a bunch of people. I think it was, 12. Like, what, 12 or 13?
12.
It was 12 muggles that he killed. And the biggest part of Peter Pettigrew that they could find was his finger. And so, which also, by the way, they, like, mail his finger back to his mom. And they're like, here's your son. Which is so, like, weird.
That is weird.
But whatever. So, that's the story. Bah, bah, bah. So Harry's like super pissed. He's like, why has no one told me this information? Like, why didn't I know that I had a godfather? Like, why didn't I know that he was locked up, that he betrayed my family? Like, what the F? So they like go back home. He's like being super like puberty about it. He's like crying about it. He's like, those are my parents. That's why they're dead, Hermione. And he's like super mad about it. So like, I think it's like that night, or is it the next night? I forget, that they're like sitting in the common room and Harry is still stuck on this information.
Which, and understandable.
Totally understandable. I'm not trying to minimize his pain. But Ron and Hermione have some valid ass points. And they're like, my dude, this is a mass murderer who has killed several freaking people. Like, you can't go after him. You're a 13-year-old noob. Like, you're not going to be able to do anything. And he's like, you know what I can do? I can go down and talk to Hagrid. Because Hermione was like, well, why don't we just go visit Hagrid? Like, he makes you happy. And he's like, actually, you're right. I'm going to ask him why he never told me any of this information. So they actually head down to Hagrid's hut. And everybody's like, bro, this guy's so dramatic. All right. But, yeah. And that's it for today. We're going to leave you on a cliffhanger. We'll catch you some other time.
Oh,
exactly. It's so thrilling.
Alexis,
I love this book.
Where do you think the story's going to go now? Now that Harry has, like,
all this tea,
you know, discovered all this tea.
What an open-ended question.
Yeah.
It can go anywhere.
I like it.
But I'm excited to find out. And then forget about it a week.
And then forget it. I feel like we're going to have to, like, have you listen to the episode before we continue recording the next part, because...
You would have forgotten.
I'm going to need to do that.
And she's saying this, like, actually legitimately, folks. She will probably have to listen to the whole episode.
Yeah, so sad.
Yeah.
Maybe this is why Alexis is in our lives. So we can continuously educate her.
Yeah.
It's great.
About Harry Potter. Yeah. About Harry Potter, yes. Yeah. Everything else she's got down pat.
Yeah, she's a smart chick, Alexis.
In the meantime, if you want to follow us on social media, go ahead and hit us up on Instagram @thethreebroomchicks.
You can also follow us on the Twitter @the3broomchicks.
And you can go like our Facebook page, The Three Broom Chicks. And don't go too far, folks, because after this episode, we will have part 2 of Potter for Dummies
3.
Potter
for Dummies 3, part 2.
Ooh. Our Potter for Dummies series is just going to get so convoluted, people, because as you all know and are experts in Harry Potter, the stories just get way more complicated. So there's a lot to tell our Potter dummy about coming up soon.
Our Potter dummy. Affectionately called.
Affectionately.
Here I am.
As always, we are the Three Broom Chicks.
And it's serious.